Welcome to the Storage Review podcast. I'm Brian Beeler. We have Phil Brace on the podcast today. Phil is with Seagate. He is the president of their Cloud Systems and Silicon Group. Really interesting. His business group covers everything from flash all the way through to the Xyratex and new Dot Hill acquisitions and the systems and support that they're giving their customers. Phil has a lot of great things to say today, learning about some of their flash strategy and getting some really great insight from their experience showing off their fastest SSD ever at OCP last week, and some of the insights that they're finding from the Supercompute events and others that enterprises can really learn from. Without further ado, let's bring in Phil.
Oh, pleasure to be here today. Thanks for having me.
So, Phil, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about your role within Seagate and what it is that you do there.
My role in Seagate really encompasses three major pillars within the organization. My official title is President, Cloud Systems and Silicon Group. And within that, there are three major pillars. The first is on the system side, and really the system side is the aggregation of investments that we've made in acquisitions, both including the Dot Hill acquisition, the former Xyratex acquisition, and really represents Seagate's effort to build storage solutions at higher levels of integration. So think of those as storage-related building blocks from that area. That's a substantial part of the business that we have now. The second pillar is on the flash side, and this has encompassed a former LSI Avago acquisition, as well as Seagate organic efforts. It includes all of our SAS SSDs, the PCIe SSDs, as well as the silicon controller efforts. And then the third pillar of the organization is really an R&D organization that is focused on all of the silicon development for all of our hard drive solutions, our hybrid solutions, SSDs, and including storage ASICs that are used inside the systems. And so those are the three major pillars of the organization.
It's funny because those three things sound different, but they're all interrelated in various ways. I know you guys have some pretty clear views on the growth of the market from flash penetration to overall storage capacity requirements. As you think about these three pillars, how do you compartmentalize or segment the market to understand what these various momentum around flash and capacity, what that means to the overall portfolio?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really important to understand while we're talking about that is to really look at and see what we see happening in the storage market. And I think many people think of Seagate with respect to being a hard drive provider, and clearly we are there, right? We've innovated and developed products for now more than 30 years and continue to innovate in that space. But if you look at really what's happening, right, Seagate is moving to become what I call more of a storage building block provider. In the year 2000, I think about 65 or 75% of our exabytes were shipped in the client space. In the year 2015, we were less than 35% exposed to the PC market from a revenue point of view. And so really what we see happening is this massive data locality move. And with that data locality move comes two things. One, it's imperative for companies like Seagate to start thinking and developing products that are higher levels of integration. When you're selling products, storage devices to people who buy them in units of thousands and 10,000s and in cases hundreds of thousands, it's important to think about technology and business model innovation that you can do to evolve your products to meet the needs there. And so that's really a lot of the work that we're doing on the system side is to go, okay, how do we start moving up the value stack? As our customers continue to move in towards software and services, it's important for Seagate to continue to invest in IP that really is focused around storage building blocks. The second thing is related to flash. This is obviously the fastest growing part of the market here today. And, you know, Seagate really views this as an opportunity to grow. If you just look at the amount of data that is being stored and the amount of data that's being generated, we don't see any line of sight to that. And in fact, if you look at what Seagate does at its core, we protect and manage data, whether it ships on SSDs or magnetic media or systems or hybrid drives or wherever it is, right? We want to be the preeminent storage building block provider to the industry. And that's really where some of our investments and energies are go. And so we continue to have major investments in the hard drive side, as you expect us to do. And then as we continue to make IP that really emphasizes our position both in the flash side and in the system side.
Well, the investment in flash is timely, right? I mean, on the enterprise side, we're seeing flash really supplant the high-speed 2.5-inch form factor drives, while there's still a big need for capacity 3.5-inch drives. And on the client side, almost every system today ships with performance system anyway, ships with SSDs, and Apple's done a good job of driving flash into the market through their systems. When you think about the investments you've made there, we've seen the 1200.2 come out that you worked on Micron with on the enterprise side. I know you guys have done some different drives on the client side as you've worked through that business. What are you really excited about, though, in terms of rolling these new acquisitions together and generating new products that Seagate really hasn't had before?
Yeah, I think some of the things that I'm most excited about, I think you saw, you know, it just came back from OCP last week, the Open Compute Conference here in the Bay Area, and the energy there was tremendously exciting. We introduced the world's fastest SSD there, a lot of momentum around our PCIe, NVMe products, whether they're in the new emerging M.2 form factors or different form factors. I think that there's a lot of energy around that. I think also in general, I'm most excited about the fact that, right, we are in a position now to offer really a wide range of products depending on the application need of a particular customer. You know, just look at the amount of data that's being provided. Not all data is going to sit on flash, and certainly not all data is going to sit on hard drives. And the ability to offer a range of solutions that meets the performance, the power, the cost, and the capacity requirements of various different customers is a really exciting place to be. I spent an earlier part of my career at different companies, and I'll tell you that the time right now to be inside storage, to be a part of all that, is really exciting.
Yeah, I've been to OCP before, and that audience, if ever there is one, is very broad in accepting new ideas, strange ideas, and new ways of looking at problems, because most of those guys aren't necessarily bound by the same rules that enterprise IT typically is. I suppose you were showing that sort of to the point with that PCIe drive. For anyone that missed it, walk us through what you were demonstrating there so we can have a better picture of what that looked like.
Yeah, we really introduced a new fastest solid-state drive. It was a by-16 PCIe solution that was capable of 10 gigabytes a second of performance throughput. And clearly that today is aimed at, I'll say, the upper echelon of performance spectrums, right? That would be the Ferrari, if you will, of SSDs. But it really gives you the idea of the kind of watermark that we can start to achieve with that. And, you know, I think that, you know, the other item to talk about is some of the work that we've recently done at the HPC conference in Austin towards the end of the year, when the Supercompute Conference, when we started to really introduce some new products that were really designed around the performance end of the spectrum, both for our hard drive solutions and for our systems and SSD-based solutions. So the product we announced at OCP was really a product that was by 16 PCIe, 10 gigabytes a second, and really kind of continues to expand our flash portfolio in ways that we haven't seen it before.
Now, typically, though, as we think about Seagate and how you've acted before, normally you would announce a drive or a new capacity or a new product and be shipping it pretty much at the same time. This is a little bit different strategy for you, to really be out ahead of the curve and taking a leadership position or a thought leadership position in technology and engineering. That must be kind of fun for you and a little bit different way for you to communicate with your audience.
Well, what was really interesting and why we chose a different path on that one was particularly at this end of the spectrum, what we see is that customers are looking more at the application and how the particular solution really impacts the application and what needs to get done. And so when we talk about the data locality move that I mentioned before, right, the types of solutions we're talking about here tend to be more highly engineered. And so the purpose why we did it somewhere differently was to actually to stimulate discussions with people that perhaps we hadn't had discussions with before, that weren't aware that we were working on some of these kind of things, such that we could then work with them, get their input, and tweak the product in a way that makes the most sense for their particular application. Because as we see going forward, particularly at the OCP type of events, right, it's very unique per application, right? If you're working with one of the people, it's a different model than with the other guy. And I think so getting some of that early feedback and that collaboration with the engineering community is going to be increasingly critical as we go forward. And so I'd expect you to see us to do more of that kind of work.
It's interesting, especially with that crowd that are running, in some cases, self-developed apps, or maybe in most cases, they've got a certain ability to understand the nuance of their application, can tune their application, and do other things that can really leverage storage. And it's a message we've heard before, but haven't really seen deployed a whole lot in practice. And maybe that's just because the enterprise is buying applications and doesn't really have that ability to tune. Is that some of the type of thing that the OCP guys are interested in that you were talking with?
Yeah, I think very much so. I think when you talk to this particular community, right, what you find is that they are very, very aware of their own particular use case and own particular application. And in many ways, it doesn't vary that much. If you put it inside one particular application, that's the application they're going to run it for. And so what you find is you get some people that say, hey, I don't want max performance because my application and my architecture is such that I can get X performance out of it. What I care about is latency distribution and power per IOP, as an example. You may have some other streaming apps that say, oh my gosh, I've got to be able to, read and get a bunch of data out of the system as fast as I can. And you may have other companies that say, gosh, I've got to be able to write to this thing as fast as I can to support the ingest of data. And so all of those three criteria, you know, you can optimize them for different things. And whereas in the traditional enterprise, when you're selling something that goes, for example, into a VDI environment, IOPS may matter a lot because you want to operate that solution in an IOPS constrained environment where that'll support more VDI solutions. And so we find that those kind of tuning parameters are becoming increasingly important as we go forward.
So at the other end of the spectrum, you guys picked up Xyratex a couple years back and really looking at some of the HPC solutions at the time. Tell us where you are with that acquisition and the related products.
Yeah, I've been really pleased with how both the Xyratex and the Dothill acquisitions and teams have come together. Really, if you look at it, I think our customer base has been very supportive. We've got really a who's who marquee list of customers going forward. And really, as we look to the future, I think that I'm most excited around really the four pillars that we're organizing that business around, right? And the four pillars are our traditional server and storage OEMs. And what we're working with them on is a discussion that says, hey, guys, you need to be focused, and you are focusing on the services and the support and the software. Let us provide some of that hardware capability that may not make sense for you to do in-house anymore. Work with Seagate and work with us because we can have really be your storage building block provider. And that message has been resonating with them. And there's a few other classes of customers that are emerging really well, what I'll call embedded appliance guys. And these are folks that develop solutions that actually use a ton of storage, perhaps in the video surveillance area or, medical devices and things like that, where you've got just gobs and gobs and gobs of data that are, I'll call them non-traditional vertical markets that are providing interesting opportunities, right? Media and entertainment, genomes, biometrics, oil and gas, those kind of solutions. You can start building tailored solutions for those products. The third is really around the cloud service providers. And that's really not only can we look at technology innovation, right? What can we do such that if we sell things fully integrated, are there technology things that we can do differently, or are there business model things we can do differently? And I personally think we are in the first inning of a 9-inning baseball game around those types of things. And then finally, there's the high performance computing space and or the object store space. And this market tends to be really, I'll say, the tip of the spear with respect to technology innovation. And what we've seen, like in the compute side, these guys tend to be on the bleeding edge and use things, but that kind of technology tends to trickle down into mainstream. And that's really where we've seen some of that happen and where we're investing there.
Yeah, you make an interesting point about technology trickling down, and I've long felt that some of the challenges that are being addressed at places like OCP and Supercompute are really interesting in that they tend to affect the mainstream enterprise a couple years later as an indicator of where the market's going. Have you found that to be the case? And it sounds like you have as you're deciding where to make your investments. And what sort of things are you seeing there over the last year or two that you think are going to be compelling in the next couple of years for the mainstream enterprise?
Yeah, I do believe, and I believe that trend is going to increase. And one of the areas, I'll give you an example where I'm most intrigued and where I think it's most likely to happen. You look at what's happening. One of the things that's happening in the high performance computing space is that there's this concept, I'll call it warm data, but you know, they have these massive storage arrays at Los Alamos National Labs, or you pick them, and they've got all their hot data that's running. And then historically in the past, they've actually moved a lot of that data onto tape for archiving. You know, you look now, and the idea of cold data as we move to big data analytics and things like that is really becoming, in some ways, an out-of-date kind of concept. Clearly, there'll be the need to archive things for long data retention and things. But the idea that people want to have access to that massive bank of data that they had for a while ago is becoming, particularly important. You look at some of the new capabilities that like a Facebook has that'll do a timeline and things. And, you know, they can bring up photos that you took several years ago. And you can imagine you can't have that stored on a device like a tape device. And so the idea of these massive data lakes that are starting to emerge in the high performance computing space around objects and using object storage and things, I think is going to become really interesting and probably will trickle down into the mainstream as companies and institutions and the new business models really are trying to take advantage of all that data. And so I think having a cost-effective way to store all that data and access it in a reasonable time is going to become interesting. And so I think that whole idea of tiered storage, right? You put the hottest data on the lowest latency stuff, which is flash, and then you have massive banks of high performance devices, followed by potentially an even a larger bank of always on, always available storage at reasonable performance. I think that's going to be something interesting that develops over time.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that stratification from most enterprise vendors. You know, of course, there's always the group that's out there pitching flash, and flash is the best for everything, and it's the best for a lot of things. But there's still this next layer of where am I going to store? And you talk about surveillance, that's a big one. This kind of data may be forever and ever if you're in a regulated industry, especially. We're seeing those retention policies stretched out over time. It's funny to me, though, or it's interesting that as you guys continue to develop on the hard drive side, larger drives, new technology like SMR, the weight then goes back onto the vendors to support these drives. And sometimes these massive capacity jumps as we've gone from 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 and beyond, it puts additional stresses on their systems that perhaps they hadn't contemplated before. Not that it's a problem, but it's just sort of an interesting byproduct of your innovation, I suppose.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges and opportunities that we have on the magnetic side you know, you mentioned it, there's a number of new technologies that come inbound, whether it's SMR or in the future, it's the heat-assisted magnetic recording. I mean, we really don't see an end of sight, really, to our ability to continue to cram more bits in a given area. And so we think the future is bright with respect to that and continue to drive the effective cost per bit down as we just believe that that's going. But as you point out, one of the biggest challenges we have now is actually to get some of those products into market quickly. And, you know, sometimes, frankly, it takes us longer than we'd like to go through all the different testing processes and the quals and the certifications and all the things that are required. And so we are constantly looking at ways, are there ways that we can shorten that time frame to get those products into market? You know, and perhaps the new segmentation that we talk about here may provide some opportunities for us to do that. You know, workload optimized drives that frankly we test in one particular configuration that may not be general purpose drives, and that may be okay. And so I think that we're certainly looking at a number of different options in terms of how we can accelerate our time to market. And I think that's one of the areas that I'm focused on the system side as well, right? How do I make my systems, our systems, such that when we have new products, they can just drop right in there and work? And that's a lot of work required on our side to go do that.
So you've done some segmentation already on duty-specific drives like surveillance, like enterprise, and then small NAS. Is that the kind of thing that you think we might see more of going forward?
Yeah, I think it's very, very possible. I think that, you know, we'll obviously, you know, in the core hard drive operation, right, that produces millions of drives every week, right, the idea of having, I'll say, small levels of customization becomes challenging because in order to get the cost down, you really need to kind of have a level of commonality. But we are certainly looking at doing things, you know, more specifically tailored towards the emerging use cases, and particularly in the big, you know, OCP-like, you know, you pick the big MSPs or CSPs. Certainly those guys are big enough now and they understand the workload enough now that we're certainly having detailed architectural discussions with them on what we might do. And in fact, just last week or 2 weeks ago, one of the lead guys at Google, right, wrote a pretty big paper on, hey, the evolution of what can we do differently on the drive side. And you might imagine we're having lots of discussions with Google and a number of the other players in that space. Because we all share the same vision that, oh my gosh, this data is going to continue to grow, and there is just need for all types of storage, be it flash, be it hard drive, hybrid drives, you know, all sorts of different ones.
When we think about the other things that are facing enterprise, other challenges, software-defined is a big hot button right now in terms of not just its mindshare, but the adoption's way up. We had a podcast last week with VMware on Virtual SAN. They've seen some great numbers there. What does Seagate make of the emergence of software-defined everything, really, and how you can play there from a storage perspective?
You know, if we look at it, first off, in general, I personally am a believer in the software-defined storage world, software-defined world. I think one of the, and why is that the case? If you look at what the problems that are facing, whether you're an enterprise customer or whether you're a data center customer or a web cloud things, it goes back to this idea that data is growing so much that you can't really afford to, you know, buy a massive array, you know, pick your favorite vendor, fill it up, and then 2 years later have another massive capital outlay. Take the forklift, wheel in another one, and then what do? You've got data islands and data migration problems, and yes, we've got individual kind of companies' products that are designed to solve that. But in general, the idea is, hey, how do we make the storage more configurable, more scalable, and more like a Lego building block approach? And, you know, if you look at what Seagate is trying to do, right, we want to make as much storage as easily available as possible. And so to the extent that there's technologies out there that enable that, you know, software-defined configuration, expansion, management of storage and storage media, that's great for us. And so our goal is to build the storage building blocks that really work in those kind of environments. And so, you know, we've got some partnerships today with guys like Scality and CleverSafe and some of the others. We've got some of our own products that we're building that are more targeted from that perspective. But, you know, if you look at what we're after from Seagate, we like more data. We like more data being stored, and we just want to provide the base technology for which that data is managed and stored on. And, you know, to the extent that there are higher level applications that help manage it, make it easier to manage, fantastic.
Well, it sounds like that you guys really want to drive the brand into a leadership position around all sorts of storage activities and not just be viewed as from the executional side of putting drives in boxes and shipping them off on their way, which may not necessarily be a change from prior years at Seagate, but it certainly sounds like the cornerstone of your approach going forward.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Look, I mean, we today, you know, there are very few industries that have the amount of scale and presence that a traditional hard drive is, right? Hundreds of millions of units a year. And you just look at the, you know, the exabytes, you know, between the sum total of the exabytes shipped between WD and Seagate on any given year is just staggering. And clearly that'll remain the case for a long period of time. I think what's important for us, though, as a storage building block provider and as a leader in the industry, whether it's this data locality move from the PC to the cloud, whether it's our customers moving upstream to services and software, whether it's the emergence of new stuff, whether it's software-defined storage or object storage or all these other things, what's at the core pillar of what we want to do? We want to build storage-related building blocks, right? Whether it's flash, whether it's HDD hybrids, you know, in the hard drive side, I think we buy 31 elements from the periodic table in raw form, right? We're not going to get out integrated there. And we need to take that core base of technology and continue to grow it such that we continue to grow our position as a storage building block provider beyond just hard drives.
Yeah, so that's an interesting point, right? Building the hard drive is not easy. There's very little that's trivial about it. And you guys have invested billions of dollars into making that work. On the flash side, the dynamics are somewhat different. You don't have the NAND fab, so you're not sourcing or you're not creating everything in the same way that you are on the hard drive side. And the products tend to be a little more transient on the flash side in that their lifespans from a sales perspective tend to be shorter due to the rapid innovation on the flash side. How is that set of dynamics changed or perhaps maybe you guys have changed the dynamics, but it's so different from hard drives. How is that being integrated into the business?
Yeah, I think one thing that is kind of interesting is that I think in general, the SSD, I'll call it a broad market, probably gets an unfair shake in terms of being perceived as very easy, right? You look at an SSD and you think, oh, this is great. I'll just solder down a few components and be done with it. The truth of the matter is underlying the controller and the firmware capability is exceedingly complex. And to make it work reliably is very, very difficult. I think that if you were to go around and ask a number of people who have worked to integrate SSDs, it takes a long time to get them through qual. It takes a lot of time to make sure they work. There's a tremendous amount of performance variables, reliability, endurance variables. And what Seagate is focused on is that controller IP, the firmware IP, what really makes the drive look and act like a drive in a system context. We are not spending R&D focused on the base semiconductor development that is the NAND flash cell. And I think our choice right now is really to try and work with the number of partners that we believe are going to offer us best in class. So you saw our partnership with Micron in a particular area. Today we're working with a number of the other vendors, and our goal is to be in effect media agnostic and be able to pick the best media we can for the given product and invest our energy and our solutions in the firmware controller that makes the right level of reliability, performance, and endurance that our customers are expecting. And certainly right now, it's a wild world out there in SSD land. There's lots of different players and lots of different parties. And I think one thing's for sure, I mean, Seagate knows how to invest for the long term. We've been here before, been through all the ups and downs, and we just put one foot in front of the other and keep going and try to make sure that we're focused on the long game of investing in storage technologies that are going to matter at the end, and not spend so much time worried about you know things that are happening on a month by month basis.
Well, clearly the there's been a lot of excitement in the flash space, and some of the most excited aren't in the business anymore. So, you know, being first, being first and fastest doesn't necessarily lead to success at the end of the tunnel. And I think you're right to put the emphasis on the controller and on the firmware, as I think through the hundreds of drives probably that have come through our lab, that's normally where issues occur, and not so much solder points falling off or actual NAND die failures, which are highly uncommon. So that seems like a good place to put your effort in, and something that you can differentiate on, and as you say, deliver different performance or capacity or cost profiles depending on the workloads. As you go forward on the flash side, there's so many different dynamics going on, from interfaces to form factors, shapes and sizes. What's helping drive your direction in terms of what Seagate pulls together in the flash space?
Well, I think part of what we need to do as Seagate is really try and take advantage of the broad market position that we have. I mean, the reality is nobody, if you're in storage, you've had some sort of relationship with Seagate at some point along the line. And so customers today are looking to consolidate. They're looking to work with fewer partners, not more partners, just because there's so many of them. And so how do we take that position and say, hey, we have a portfolio of products that meets your needs, and work with a number of different vendors on the NAND side to try and make that happen. And that's really what we're driving at. And then if you look going forward, right, it's important for us to develop products that are differentiated and that can offer some incremental, if incremental value. If we just show up with a me-too product, then it's hard to gain some traction out there on that front. So that's why you look at us doing some interesting things on either making the fastest drive or interesting form factors with some of the leading social media companies or the SaaS space, which tends to be a more highly concentrated space that's more complex. And so I think, you know, you'll see us kind of focused on areas that we can differentiate and add some interesting value to our customers.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about HAMR on the hard drive side. There's all sorts of new technologies emerging, coming up. What is it that you guys are excited about, if you can look forward a little bit to the extent that you can, to share with us today? What sort of forward-looking visions do you have that you're excited about at Seagate?
You know, I am just most excited about this continued, I'll call it a data deluge, right? This continued explosive growth of data. And everybody that we're talking to, right, has different ideas and different ways to go. And just the innovation that's happening in this space gives me a lot of optimism about the future going forward, whether it's the flash, the software-defined storage, the move up in systems, the expansion of the hard drives in terms of capacities, the number of different points at which there are innovative things going on. Being a technologist, being involved in high tech for more than 25 years, that is what's exciting me the most, the number of new things that are happening and the future driving us forward, I think, is very bright in the storage area.
Well, that sounds good. Seagate certainly has a comprehensive offering all the way through the stack, and it should be fun to see what you guys drive out of it. We're at the end of our time. It's gone quickly, but Phil, we appreciate your participation and look forward to doing this again.
Great. Thanks. It was good chatting with you, and hope you enjoyed it.
I'd like to thank Phil again for participating in the podcast today. Getting his insight on Seagate's vision is really compelling, and personally, I'm most excited to see what they do in the flash space as they continue to make investments there. The demo at OCP is really compelling, and it'll be great to see what spins out of that in terms of quantifiable product. If you'd like to keep supporting the podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, and you can follow us on Twitter at Storage Review to keep up with our daily goings-on. Follow Kevin at Test Lab Nut to see what's going on in the lab, and I can be found at BMBEELER. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back soon with another podcast.